At the age of 20, I had a powerful spiritual experience in a Roman Catholic church in Maltby. The parish priest, Father Leonard May, became a good friend and mentor to me. Now in his 90s, he is that rare combination of progressive and conservative. He was very willing to embrace new thinking, running a healing service every Friday evening to which hundreds would come in search of faith and an experience of God. He'd also been, for 3 years, a Carthusian monk. The Carthusians are the strictest monastic order in the church. They are, basically, a community of hermits who live together. They spend most of their days in a little terraced dwelling, facing inwards to a quadrangle and outwards to their own private walled garden. They leave these cells twice a day, once at 2:30 a.m. to pray together in the Abbey Church, chanting psalms and lifting our fractured world in prayer. The other time is to celebrate Mass together. The rest of the time they work, eat, pray and sleep alone. I once asked Father May what life was like in the monastery. He said it was very hard, Spartan and fierce, and actually he had to leave as his health broke down. But he said, on good days, it was a wonderful life. When I pulled a face and asked what made it so great, he told me this story and I have never forgotten it. In the cell next door to him was a monk in his 80s. He had been there since he was in his 20s, and Father May wondered what this man did all day and how he was still sane. So one evening, he shinned up his wall and peered into the garden. "What do you think I saw, Adrian?" Father May asked me, his little Dumbledore-style spectacles glinting. "I don't know," I said. "I saw the old man in his beautifully tended garden, leisurely walking up and down the neat gravel paths, pausing to gaze at the flowers, and then, with a look of sheer bliss on his face, he continued his perambulation." "And what did you take from that?" I asked. "Adrian," he replied, smiling benignly, "I realised that this is what we were made for, and have somehow lost it, to walk in the garden with God." He paused, and his face took on that same beatific glimmer. "Adrian, that man had found the lost Eden." The emotional charge of that little vignette has never left me. The simple vision of that old monk in his white habit, surrounded by beautiful flowers, lodged itself in my soul and has left me with a love of two things, gardens and walking. There is a Latin phrase, solvitur ambulando, meaning it is solved by walking. Bruce Chatwin, in a book called The Song Lines, says in response to that phrase that he passionately believed that walking constituted the sovereign remedy for every mental travail. When I had an attack of relentless anxiety 3.5 years ago, my therapist used that same phrase and encouraged me to walk every day. I would put the dog's leads on and tramp through my garden and out into the Rivlin Valley, no matter the weather. It soothed my troubled spirit. Not immediately, it was no quick fix. It occurred imperceptibly over days and weeks. As I think about all this, I realise that Father May's story has been like a secret remedy lodged deep in my soul, and that it has been on a slow release throughout my life. And once in a while, it floods back into me. Here is a poem I wrote about one such moment. Thank you, Father May, and thanks to that nameless monk. Lost Eden. I put their leads on full of begrudging. The rain is audible even through the door, and the winter light is already fading. The young collie yanks the lead of my dissatisfaction, a reminder that I failed to attend to his daily training. We face the wind, heads leaning into the onrushing erosion of the blown wetness, seeming to deem us undeserving of any grace. Up the cloddy path, stick into my boots, an indictment, each squelching step, another evidence of my poor progress. Coming around the stone-built cottages and up the genel, funneling the three dogs into a yelping clutter under my tetchy feet. Out of sorts, isn't that what they call it? When the world you meet meets all the low expectations you carried into it. Then we reach the head of the valley, whittling the broken end of my tether, only to look up as the clouds break. The great orb of the low sun gleams from behind the leaf-shorn beech tree, and we all stop as if music were playing. The lost Eden opens its generous gates to animal and human. We pass through into momentary, unsought beatitude.